what we did on week one, Times of Refreshing. Last week, our lesson was called The Big Picture. And basically, what we did was we took the logo that is that, there's a target thing, circle in the middle, a ring around that, and then a ring around that, which is your body, your soul, and then your human spirit is that innermost circle. And we said that our spirit has been nicknamed our receiver. And that God's idea is, you know, that He's planted His Holy Spirit in our inmost being, and that is our means of communication between God and us. You know, the Holy Spirit inside of us testifies, it says, that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit discloses to us, it says in the book of John, His truth. He leads us into all truth. So that's how God communicates with us, is that spirit within our human spirit. And so it makes sense that we'd think about it as our receiver. And it's God's plan for us to know truth in the inmost being, because truth sets us free, doesn't it? So that's why we want to always find the biblical truth. God's word is truth, it says in John 17:17. So we always want to find that biblical truth that can go way down deep, and that we can know it in such a way that it produces that fruit of rest, refreshment, and all those rivers of living water, and all the fruits of the Spirit, and all the abundance and the fullness that God has for us. But what we said was, these lies or mindsets keep us sometimes from believing. That's our problem, is unbelief. We don't, the truth doesn't penetrate into our inmost being, because our inbox is full. So we want to start letting God, and we started this week, but I have a feeling God's going to be showing us stuff all year long, and hopefully on into the future. You know, I want to be a lifetime learner. I've still got tons to learn about everything that I've ever studied. And so sometimes God will pull something out of the, you know, the like that verse that talks about God takes old and new things from His treasure chest, you know. And so we're starting to identify what things are blocking our receiver from the truth that, hey, we really can have God's presence go with us and give us rest. And so times of refreshing, which in my notes is T-O-R, comes from Acts 3:19, that says, repent, therefore, that times of refreshing may come from the hand of the Lord, or from the presence of the Lord. Re means to do over, as you know. Pent means from the highest place. Penthouse comes from that word. So what we said is, we want to see things from God's perspective. We want to see them like He sees them. We want to think them like He thinks them. We want His thoughts to become our thoughts on any topic, but particularly. And I think whatever the topic is, that when we repent and change our minds for the better, that we will have times of refreshment on whatever topic. We'll be refreshed in the area of marriage. We'll be refreshed in the area of parenting. We'll be refreshed in the area of fill in the blank, okay? So that's kind of our big picture. And today we want to add to that and kind of look more at, yes, we're going to have those moments where the light bulb is going to come on. And those are, gotta love those. I mean, you know, because the thing about it is, and we're going to be talking a lot about this today, but I can remember Psalm 49. I couldn't remember the reference to it, but I remember seeing that verse for the first time, and it made a lasting impression on me, because it was a thought that had never occurred to me. It was a thought that I would have never thought of on my own. It had a ring of truth to it. It had power that came with it. It had faith that came with it. And it had, you know, the term anointing. And that really means, that word basically means kind of fueled and set apart by the Spirit. And so when you hear somebody share something that really was communicated with them by the Lord, to them by the Lord, it comes with sort of that anointing on it. And that word's kind of tossed around a lot, and they kind of thought of it as a charismatic word, but y'all, that's such a biblical word. And what it basically means is, oh, people, something in your human spirit that has the Holy Spirit living in it testifies to your spirit, that your spirit's testifying to the spirit in you going, oh, yeah, I'm getting that. I'm feeling that. You know, do you feel me? Yeah, I do. But I'm not, you know, so that's the anointing. So, I mean, that's what we want. I guess I lived a lot of my life with a lot of totally unanointed things that I said and thought. Just because I thought I was supposed to. Just because somebody told me that was right. It wasn't God. It wasn't relational. It wasn't powerful. It was just kind of more a bunch of dry stuff. And so that fuels me. That's my passion. And that's the reason I do what I do. And digging in here and standing up here and just sharing basically from my life is because I want that. And I think y'all do too. So anyway, let's talk about the process and the provision that we have from the Lord. And that is found in Hebrews chapter 4. I felt like this was the first passage we were really supposed to dig into, and it's a classic, you know, in terms of the topic of rest. But I mean, it's kind of interesting because it sort of ends up with the thing that you kind of don't think it's going to end up with when you're talking about rest. So I'll read mine from the NIV, and then let's make a few points from it. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. It didn't profit them, it says in other versions, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Again, that's that big help my unbelief. Have to combine it with faith. So now, we who have believed enter that rest. So see, that's the gateway, is believing. Just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. Verse 4, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in creation, these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Let us be diligent, it says in some of the versions, to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God, it's the first Bible verse I ever memorized when I was a little girl. It's one of my favorite verses. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Well, that is a jam-packed chapter. But I wanted to hit 3 points from this chapter. I don't know what we're doing next week. Maybe we'll go back to it next week. I just do this week to week. But verses 1-3, we talked a little bit about, and I wanted to just say that basically what he's doing here is telling us, using the example of the children of God in the wilderness. And he's saying what was true of the children of God then is true of the children of God now. That our present reality is not matching our finished destiny. And why am I saying that? Because verse 1 tells us that God has promised to give us rest. And verse 2 tells us that we lack the faith that makes that our reality. That God, when God speaks a promise, it's a done deal. It's there for us. And so all of us, and it says, you know, in verse 9, that the promise of rest remains. So it's still out there. It's God's still holding it forth for us. And we aren't benefiting from it because of unbelief. Because we have those filters in place we talked about. Instead of having the filter of faith, that's what we want here, is to see through eyes of faith. And I'm just going to tell you that the way to get this is a fabulous verse. Romans 10:17 tells you exactly how to get faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, or really I guess I should do it that way, by the word of God. And this word in the Greek is the word rhema, r-h-e-m-a, and that means a specific spoken message. It is the spoken word of God. It's the communicated word of God. So we, in order to combat the lies, in order to combat the wounds or the environments or the cultural messages that we have in place. You know, the way you hit the refresh button, so to speak, using this little bit idea of our minds are like a computer and our mind is the gateway that lets belief in, is like hit the refresh button. And all that distortion or that blockage gets taken away when you hit the refresh button. You get times of refreshing when you repent and see it the way God sees it. And God tells us how he sees it in his word, and he'll communicate that to us by his spirit. So what's our promise for today? Our promise is that we can have rest today. I love verse 7 that says God sets a certain day for that rest, and he calls it today. So that tells me that if you have never, ever, ever, ever rested one single day before today, today can be your day. And if tomorrow you don't do such a great job on it, then the next day can be your new today, right? And how do we access that rest? Just another way to say it, verse 7, the second half says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The key to entering his rest is hearing his voice. To have your receiver receiving his words. Listening to him. And it tells us in verse 11, be diligent to enter that rest. Which seems a little bit, kind of, doesn't that seem almost like a little conflict in that sentence, that we're, God tells us, and it says in some words, strive diligently, it says in some translations, strive diligently then to enter that rest. So, you know, that is our work to believe, it says in John 6:27. That's our work. So we enter his rest by coming to him, entering his presence, and listening to his voice. And we do that with diligent faith. We do that diligently, daily. Today is a new day to do that. His mercies are new every morning. And that just simple act of faith, Jesus, you know, Jesus has given us, and I've given you a whole front and back squeezed as tight as it'll fit handout today called Tools and Techniques, Listening to God. And it will give you And there are so many more. I could have made it a 5-page handout, but just I hope that if you have questions about this topic, does God still speak? I believe that it is an airtight, biblically sound argument to say yes. If you don't need another thing, go back to the chapter we just read, Hebrews 4. God, yes, God is still in the business of communicating spirit to his children. His main means of doing that is his written word, that he uses his holy Bible and takes his Holy Spirit and imparts it to our spirit, y'all. That's until I knew that, I will just tell you, my life stunk. I was so disillusioned. I was so disappointed. I was so disheartened because I knew there was so much more for me. Or I thought there was. I mean, I just thought, what is all this in the Bible? All these people are living a miracle. I see people around me living a miracle. And y'all, it is a miracle to walk with a living God. And so that's how we do it. We just simply come today and listen to his voice. And I think that's what Jesus meant when he said to the woman at the well, I'm going to give you some living water, and you'll never thirst again. Y'all, we don't have to. I mean, we can feel thirsty, but we've got the fount. We have got the fount of every blessing. It's ours. It's like our birthright, our inheritance. And God wants that for us. He promises, Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. James 1:5 tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, just let him ask. What a promise. Wow. Take that one to the bank and see if you don't get some refreshing. So I want us to take the time, if we need to really stop and consider all the truth is mine, and that God wants to speak it personally to me. He wants to take the Logos word, which is the written word, that's your Bible, and he wants to use the Holy Spirit. Let's just make a little dove right there. Take the Logos, using his Holy Spirit, and make it a rhema word. Your personal word. That's what he did for Nathaniel. Nathaniel went from unbelief and doubt to belief. He was transformed because he had a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus spoke, and he went from, I don't see it. How could anything good come from Nazareth to, you are the Son of God? I mean, he saw. Okay, so that's the promise. The provision is his word. And I'm just going to say a few things because I love, love, love the Bible. And I know I hesitate to say that, y'all. Not everybody loves the Bible like I do. And I get that. I'm definitely a Bible geek. You can just, you know, get me that hat and those glasses and everything, because I am truly crazy, nuts crazy about the Bible. But I think if you will take a few minutes to consider just verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. Maybe it will get you a little bit jazzed about the Bible, and I just want to say a couple of things about it. I love this quote from Matthew Henry. It says, the Word of God is a great advantage in obtaining rest because it increases faith, excites diligence, and gives us understanding of the essential Word. And what he meant by that, if you go on and read that, his commentary on this passage is, the essential Word is Jesus. John 1 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. And so that makes sense then that we say that whoever wrote the book of Hebrews said the Word of God is alive. It's because Jesus is alive. And so we can be fully alive and more alive when we accept the truth of that God's Word is alive. And it's powerful, y'all. It is able to pull down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 tells us that. That, you know, whatever is not of faith in you, whatever mindsets, that have been established in your life that are blocking the flow of God's rest and God's refreshing. The Word of God is what pulls that stuff down. It is a, we use the weapons of our warfare to demolish strongholds. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says the Word teaches us, it convinces us, it corrects us. I used to not like that. I used to think, I don't like to be corrected. But you know what? Now I really do want to know. I want to know if I'm doing it wrong. That's helpful. It trains us in God, in godliness. And Matthew 13:16 says we can have blessed eyes and blessed ears. Those are the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears. So the Word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's sharp. It's as sharp as a two-edged sword. And I wanted to know why two-edged. Well, it's what we just said. It brings down the kingdom of darkness, those strongholds. And on the ruins of that stuff, it builds us up. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us the Word of God is always working in us. And it's building God's kingdom within us. So it's double-edged in that it brings down the works of darkness and it builds up the works of righteousness in our lives. And the other way that it's double-edged is that it not only cuts between joint and marrow, which I read by some commentator that that's more kind of the surface stuff. Which y'all, I don't know about you. I mean, some would say, oh, but we want to get to the deep stuff. Well, yeah, I do want to get to the deep stuff too. But y'all, I got so much surface stuff too. So how about some joints and marrow surfacey and then dividing even to this place that separates soul and spirit?
What's that
2
Thessalonians
verse, Kathy? 2:13. So it gets way down and it judges the very thoughts and motives and intents of your heart. And y'all, we'll, you know, God doesn't need to know. This Word tells us, that chapter we just read, God already knows all of that. He already knows. Everything's open and laid bare before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God knows that. He exposes our hearts and our motives and our thoughts and our intentions for our sake. And then when we see that, we go, oh, wow, that explains that. Thanks for saying. You know, it's one of the things I say quite a bit to the Lord. So those are some, that's God's powerful provision for us. So we've got the promise, we've got the provision, and then we've got the process. It's a penetrating process. It's a, you know, like processes are, processes, I guess you would say, are, they've, you know, it's not just a, usually a moment in time. I guess you've got the instant thing. Yeah, I get an instant thing every now and then. But for the most part, it's a journey, you know? So I'm going to give just a little testimony about something that was going. It's more of a general testimony, but it was a moment in time again. It was one of those sword words. It was one of those things that I will never forget for as long as I live. And it, I think it kind of demonstrates this thing about the process a little bit. Where I am in my life, and I'm sure, you know, anybody that sticks around for the year is going to be hearing some more about this because it's a process, you know. So I've been in my new season since about 2006. You know, it's like, you know, that was the year that, it was really kind of 2005 when Jackson was a senior in high school, and I started anticipating, y'all, life as I know it is changing, and I'm not sure I want it to change. And I mean, that was the beginning of the new season. I said, I am not saying empty nest. I am saying new season. That has got a negative connotation. I am just going to have a full life and an abundant life because God promises that. And we're saying new stinking season. So don't. So now Mary and I have left because we're saying we're kind of tired of new season. You know, we're just kind of like, how long is this new season going to take? Well, I'm just going to tell y'all, I'm still in the throes of adjusting. And I guess, I mean, really, hello. Maybe it's just telling a little bit about what stage of life I'm in, because really, every person in America, every person in the universe has a new season every day. Life's always changing. That's our constant, right? So I don't know, what am I whining about? But anyway, I'm just going to tell you that I have had some things changing. And I guess the thing about it is I didn't want them to change. You know, a lot of times when you're in your 20s and you've got all that stuff changing, it's all stuff you've looked forward to all your life, you know? And so that kind of is change that you're kind of wanting to do, versus this is, I'm thinking I'm kind of shedding myself of stuff. So I've been in that mode, as I said, for a while now. But this year was particularly, seemed like there was a lot of that happening. And so my mom's been, she's 39, does not tell her age, but I will just tell you that she's reached the age where we've got something new going on every day health-wise. She's just not thriving. Her health isn't very good. I'm an only child. So I had that going on. She's just been puny, and has been in the hospital recently. So I had that going in. Just that sense of, you know, all our days are numbered in his book, and God knows. But just that was going on with me. Jackson, who's my firstborn, moved away from Birmingham. He's in his third year in med school at Huntsville, so he moved farther away, and that was the change I didn't want. Well, my daughter Marilee graduated from college, and instead of being 2 hours and 45 minutes and just a quick, I can talk on the phone all the way over there ride, she is now in New York, and it's awesome. I'm so happy for her, but y'all, it's just I can't get to her. And so that was happening. It's just another new thing. I've had some changes in my own health that are really getting to me, and it's nothing serious. I've got some arthritic changes, and it's putting a cramp in my style. So all that just gives you, and I had my testimony last week was I had I've gone back to work, and that's impacted my relational time. So, I mean, just change. And so I was coming home from taking Marilee. I drove to New York, if y'all can believe this. I drove to Manhattan with a carload of stuff, futon on the top of my car, which I will just tell you that we went through the driving rain, and that mattress probably weighed 150 pounds. When we got there, we just had to pitch it. But anyway, that's just a little aside, colorful thought to add to that. I had to drive across town to go to IKEA to get the new mattress. That was a trip. I understand the cab driver's lament now, because I'm just saying, don't drive in New York if y'all don't really have to. So I'm thinking, but it was great. I felt led to do it. We had a fabulous, fabulous time getting her settled. I loved being able to kind of get her in her little spot and me see her there. But what I knew was coming, I had just a busy, packed summer and all this stuff, and I knew I had a lot facing me. Normally, I study all summer long to get ready for a Bible study. Hadn't done diddly squat. I mean, I had done about 2 days worth. And I had my mom's issues. I had my house in a topsy-turvy uproar. I mean, fill in the blank. Y'all can fill in with any blank you want to fill in. A lot to do. And so I had 16 hours in the car all by myself, me and Jesus. And I thought, I thought this is going to be my time. And I was so looking forward to that. I love my car time. So I had gotten myself stacked up with praise music. I had gotten some teaching sermons and some audio books. And then I just had a list about this long that I wanted to pray through. And so I got on the New Jersey Turnpike, buddy, and I turned my music on, and I just started singing. And then I got tired of that, and then I started praying, and then I got tired of that, and then I, you know, did my next thing. And I did that, I guess, till about 11 o'clock that night, and I found a little Comfort Inn to park myself in and spent the night there, and then I got up and I started again. And the next morning, it had rained pretty much, can I just say, driving to New York in the rain, coming back in the rain. And the next morning, though, I was in, I guess, Southern Virginia, I guess that's about where I was. I was coming over the Shenandoah Mountains, and y'all, it was not raining anymore. It was just this mist. It was just this fog, and it was quiet, and it was blue. I mean, these mountains were just majestic. I mean, you just think about Purple Mountain Majesty, and I thought, oh, I'm driving through that right now. It was just so, so beautiful. And I had sort of gotten all my wiggles out the day before. And so I was just driving along, and it was like the Lord reminded me, why don't you listen to this teaching? I turned it on, and here's what happened. Basically, I'm going to collapse it into sort of a point here. And it's this. In the midst of this teaching, a very familiar passage was read. And basically, it was just nothing the guy said, nothing of the sermon points. It was just the power of the spoken word of God. He read John 21 on this CD that I was listening to. And John 21 is the scene where Peter has gone back and taken his buddies with him after Jesus has died, after he's been resurrected, and he's gone back to fishing. And he's out there fishing. He said, I'm going fishing. And I thought, ooh, don't we do that? And takes his buddies with him. You know, they're out there fishing too, and they had fished all night long and hadn't caught a thing. And I thought, get that too. And then Jesus shows up, and he says, you know, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And I thought, you know, I think there's relevance in the fact that he said the right side. I think that was a little double entendre going, you know. And sure enough, when they did it like Jesus said, guess what happened? Supernatural, productive. He took the unproductive. He took the fruitless. He took what was, I'm kind of assuming, a fleshly thing and did something amazing with it. So he's doing that. And then, of course, they realized it's the Lord. They recognized God. You know, Jesus showed up. And so what did Peter do? He just did typical Peter. He just jumped right out and swam right to Jesus, which I was kind of loving because I'm starting swimming. And I was loving what Jesus was doing when Peter found Jesus. He was cooking, and I love to cook. So I thought, thank you, God. That was really sweet. And so he gets there, and they eat, and then Jesus said, and this was my moment, y'all, and I hope this will communicate to you, but I felt like it just said a world in this moment. Is Jesus said to Peter, and I felt like he was asking me the question, Kathy, do you love me? And y'all, it was like, you know, one of those moments in time that is just freeze framed in my mind, because it was like the Spirit of God took the Word of God and just, it was the most powerful, it was the most, you know, like heart-stopping moment. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm asking you, do you love me more than these? And all my life I had thought that meant, do you love me, Peter, more than all these other guys? But I don't think that's what he was asking. What I understood in that moment is the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see that what he was saying is, Kathy, do you love me more than all these things that you are bothering you? All these things that you care about? All these things you want answers to? Do you love me more than these? I just went, oh. I just had to pause, and I just thought, Lord, do I? You know, because I do a lot of mouthing off, and I do a lot of griping, and I do a lot of whining, and I do a lot of spinning my wheels, and I do a lot of rehearsing, all these. But when I really got right down to it, and when I really stopped, and when I really, really was able to look way down deep inside, I thought, yes. Yes, Lord, I do. Yes. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, I already knew that, but I wanted you to know it. And it was, he goes on to say to Peter, he said, you know, Peter, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to be led to places that you don't want to go. And I thought, oh, follow me, he said. And what I understood was this. I thought, what God's saying is, you know, it goes on to say that Jesus told Peter that to signify what kind of death Peter would be called to die. And y'all, we're called to die daily. And as Jesus, the question he asked me, Kathy, do you love me more than these? He knew that the only way that I could say that with integrity was that I had died 1,000 little deaths over the years of following him, that I really did mean that. I mean, I know that I can always love him more. I'm not saying I win the prize of loving Jesus. I'm just saying, but I knew that I really, if push comes to shove, I'm going to pick Jesus. I mean, if I have to choose, I'm going to pick him. And so what I felt like he was saying to me was, the 1,000 little deaths that brought you to the place where you can say that with integrity, it's the same way you're going to get through these other things. And all you've got to do is follow me. I'm going to, every single day, today, I'll give you my rest. Today, if you'll listen to me and not harden your heart and not benefit because of unbelief and not disobey and go back to fishing, then you'll have the grace you need. And that's the same way we will face we and all the things, all these things. Do you love me more than these? That's the way we'll do it. So what do we, how do we do that? I'm just going to close. I've gone a little bit over. I hope you'll forgive me for that. But let me close with the very last verse of this chapter, Hebrews 4:16. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified, and then I'll make that our prayer, and then we'll write our one thing. Hebrews 4:16 Amplified says this, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." Father, thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that it's your word that you've chosen to sanctify us and make us whole and holy. Thank you, Lord, that the truth of your word sets us free. Thank you that it transforms us from unbeliever unto believer. Lord, thank you that it's what gives us the faith that we need to be diligent to enter your rest. Lord, thank you for your perseverance. Thank you for your loving us and seeing us, Lord, everything inside of us that's laid open before you, Lord. You see it and you know it and you love us with an everlasting love. And you draw us with your loving kindness. And it's your kindness, Lord, your goodness, your love for us that calls us to repent. Not because you want us to grovel before you, Lord, but because you want us to glory before you in the truth that your will is good and acceptable and it's perfect, Lord. And we declare that by faith today, that your will is good and it's acceptable and perfect. And Lord, no matter what you call us to do in terms of following you, Lord, we thank you that we can count on that because you said it and you are the truth. And so, Father, we just commit to you all these things, Lord, that distract us, that worry us, that weigh down on us, that make us tired and weary and whiny. And, Lord, we ask you to help us to remember, remind us, thank you, that you've promised in your word. John 14:26 tells us that you, Holy Spirit, will remind us of all that Jesus taught us. So please remind us this week when we're feeling weary that that's our moment to go, oh, I want to listen to you. Or today I can enter your rest. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're faithful and you're good and that you still speak. We celebrate that today and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.